If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Yeah, bonus Film Vault. Welcome everyone to a special edition of the Film Vault, where we will talk about pretty much anything but movies, as per Anderson. Speaking of which, that is Anderson. I am Brian Bishopberry, hosts, and let's get down to it, Anderson. What was the impetus? What was your Anderson was inspired enough to suggest this? What's the deal?
Well, we did it a couple of weeks ago when everyone started dealing with being stuck at home. So I thought, why not do it again this weekend? I mean, I'm sitting with the boy and the wife, as I think many of us are stuck inside. And I decided why not do a little extra and do a little check-in with our listeners, the fine listeners that are standing by us through all this. And I know that a lot of them have more time on their hands than normal.
Yeah, good idea. Good thinking.
Also, we just talked about this right before we started the program, but I suggested we do the questions that we got via our Instagram, which is Anderson and Brian. At Anderson and Brian is our new Instagram that Jordan he's moderating over there for us. And he brought us questions a couple weeks ago. And I've tried, and tell me if I'm lying, Brian. I've tried to get these questions. Or they're basic, like four or five basic questions that listeners sent in. And I've been trying to get this off the ground and running for the last, I don't know, three or four episodes. And every single time you give me some kind of bullshit. Every single time. You're like, no, we can't do it. No, I don't want to do it. No, let's do it next week. No, let's do it for Patreon only. Every week.
Well, I will say that you're mostly right. I would challenge you on the part where what I'm saying is bullshit. Yes, I've tried to find a more opportune time to do them, maybe for an episode where we're light on Flickfessions, or for a Patreon episode where we don't have anything at the top. But that said, I'm happy to answer some questions, especially people who are following us now at Anderson and Brian over on Instagram. So, yeah, man, I'm down. We can do that. Let's, first of all, how are you? How's everything over at the Cowan household?
I'm fine, Brian. I'm fine. It's tougher to get your steps in. You know, I try and do a minimum amount of steps each day as part of my fitness routine, and that's a little bit tougher. But I'm still going to the gym.
Really?
Yeah, I was waiting for the really. Oh. Yeah, I still literally go to my gym.
I can't believe
and,
it's open.
And park my car. And it's not. Oh. I just park my car there, and then I walk around the complex, which is what I usually do anyways when I go to the gym. I always warm up by doing a lap or two around the complex, so I'm still doing that. That's like pretty much the only thing that stayed the same for me. Everything else is different.
Is there a reason you can't take your steps and your laps around your neighborhood, or is it just literally to get a change?
No, I do that too. I go around my neighborhood. I go on some. There's certain like hiking paths that I go on a regular basis with the boy, but. One of them is the gym, and I liked that I'm still able to do that four or five times a week. It's nice to, but now I'm not the only one out there. There's other jackasses out there, and they got like the full they're wearing the fitness gear and stuff, and they're doing the same thing that I'm doing around my gym, because my gym's a pretty big complex. Like, it's a big outdoor like shopping area. So there's like if you walk through the parking lots, which are all empty, it's probably about a half a mile, maybe two-thirds of a mile all the way around the complex. And now there's other people, so like my spot is now taken half the time that I show up there. There's other people parking in front of the gym, and it's upsetting.
Why are they jackasses, as you describe them, and you are not?
Because I was the first one to do it, because I'm the hipster of gym walking, I guess.
You were into gym walking.
Plus, there's one woman in particular who I really dislike, because I was trying to drive. This is all, I had no idea we'd be talking about this, but I was trying to, you know, imagine a big, large, open parking lot that's empty because all the stores are closed, right? It's got like a, it's got a Nordstrom's Rack on the, in there. It's got a Men's Warehouse, T-Mobile, I think. It's just got a bunch of stores that are all shut down. So I'm driving in the little driving area. It's like I don't even know if those have names. What do you call like a street in a parking lot?
A street.
What is that?
I mean, I just call it a parking lot. Like they're driving.
Like the driving area. Yeah, so I'm driving in the driving area in the parking lot, and there's a woman who now she's taken it upon herself to walk around the gym as well, and she's got the full, you know, she's got like a leotard on or something. She looks like she's from the 80s, and she's walking in the driving part. So I'm right behind her, right? And there's a security guard, and she sees that I'm right behind her in my car with the boy, and she, like, I could see the security lady smiling at the woman saying, hey, there's a car behind you. You're walking. There's sidewalks everywhere, Brian, but she's right in the middle. And I see her tell this woman this, and I see the woman shake her head angrily and continue to walk right in the middle of the street. So I continue to drive behind her at an excruciatingly slow pace, like maybe two miles an hour. And then I turn the corner. She turns the corner, too. So we drove, I don't know, probably about 3 minutes behind this woman. And Atticus was like, why are you doing this, Daddy? Why are you doing this? I'm like, to prove a point. Not sure what that point is yet, but we're proving it.
Point's being proven. Are the people at least practicing social distancing as you go around this block?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I don't know.
Maybe someone's brushing past people.
I don't know about you, Brian, but as far as me being out in public, not much has changed because I practice social distancing all the time. I like to be away from people. I don't like to be like, my days of mosh pitting are over, and I don't really come in contact with people ever. I'm always keeping a nice distance from people, so that's not a problem for me when I'm outside. I'm usually at least 5-6 feet away from people anyways. Whether I'm in line at CVS or Burger King, I'm not sidling up next to people.
That's interesting. I've spent significantly more time outside in the last couple of weeks than I have in the previous God knows how many years combined.
Why is that? Why?
Because of Tessa, of course, because she can't be bottled up inside. She needs to go outside in the front yard and play baseball, you know, with her little plastic bat and her little tee ball. Mm-hmm. Or she needs to play hide and seek, or she wants to go out scootering, or she wants to do whatever. And it's like, all right, great, perfect. Some more exercise for me. It's going to tire you out. It's going to get her, to bed on time at nighttime. And what I have noticed is people are, every single person I'm just seeing a lot more people on the streets. Like I see people biking outside my house and walking dogs, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. far more frequently than I did before. But like when I pass right. them, or when we're on the street with Tessa scootering or whatever, that everybody is taking wide berths. You know, no one is just insisting on, you know, mm-hmm. using the sidewalk. Like if it's not me, it's them. Someone just makes the call to use the street or the grass, you know, little area. Like everyone's taking wide berths.
Yeah. Well, I, Atticus is home with me now every day again, like he was the first 3 years of his life. So I got a pretty good practice as being a stay-at-home dad for the last 3 years before we started school in October. And we are doing a lot of the same things that we always used to do and we still do on his days off, which is walking around the block, playing outside, a lot of outside stuff. He and I are outside all the time at the same times every day. And I'm noticing, like you're noticing, way more people outside than ever before. Oh, yeah. And, I was bitching about this to Jillian and she goes, well, more people are home. I'm like, yeah, sure, they're home, but they would be home at 7 o'clock on a Thursday anyways, and now they're outside at 7 o'clock on a Thursday, whereas before they would have been inside. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's just because they're tired of being in their own homes because they're working from home, or if it's just like, oh, I'm not supposed to go outside, I gotta go outside, or I'm not sure exactly.
It feels to me like two-thirds of the people I observe are either have like a little kid in tow, i.e. either getting them, you know, some exercise, getting some outside time, or they have a pet in tow, i.e. either walking mm-hmm. them or whatever. And I think honestly it's just a nice right. excuse for people to not see the same four walls.
To not what?
To not see the same four walls.
Same four. Well, that's why you got to get a house that's built like an octagon.
That's right.
That helps.
That's right.
I also, Brian, this might sound weird and antisocial, but I was always in the habit long before this when walking around the block. If I see somebody coming my way and I'm with Atticus and we're walking, we'll cross the street. Or a lot of time they cross the street on their own because they don't like the looks of me. So, I mean, I've known what it feels like at times to be a black guy and living in America because people do they do switch sides of the street, though. They do switch sides of the street long before this happened when they'd see me coming because I guess, like my wife says, I'm a sketchy-looking character.
Well, people say I'm racist.
Not racist. I just think that as far as that goes, as far as people like being afraid of me and wanting to cross the street, they've been doing that with me for a while.
You're saying
people have been doing that with me for a while.
You're saying black guys are all sketchy?
No, I'm saying that black guys and women have said that they see racists switch sides of the street when they see them walking down the street, and I'm like, I know what you're talking about.
Wow.
Hey, in front of your house, Brian, you've had your neighbor say, "Excuse me, who is this person out in front of your house?" Right?
I have had people, my neighbors, contact me after the fact and say, "Hey, there's a scary looking guy with tattoos who's smoking and drinking outside your house." And I said, yeah, he's cool. So that's my employee. Don't worry about him.
Obviously doesn't look like a friend of yours.
This is not someone to be associating with, I would imagine. I've known you for quite some time. I know your family. I didn't just imagine you'd be associating with such people.
I thought you were an Ivy League type. Right. So, yeah, everything is... You know, I mean, last night I was trying to get myself to sleep, and I was just doing this odd thing where I was imagining that I was an older person who doesn't really have much family, and I have this corona thing, and it's like in my lungs, and I may or may not make it, and I'm laying in a hospital bed. Like that's kind of the place that I put myself in.
No. Consciously?
For a good consciously for like a good five full minutes last night, and it was not a nice place to be at all, and I feel really, really awful for all of the people that are going through this. Right now it's mostly numbers and stats, and it's getting politicized, and you know, and everyone's bitching about having to stay inside, but I made it a point to kind of try and get inside that mind space, and I mean there's real suffering going on, and victims and sadness, and this is no way for people to go out. So
well,
I heard about the
go ahead.
The president of Brazil today, that piece of shit, he's saying, oh, and I'm just so tired of anyone who brings up the car analogy, because it's so easy, it's so simple, it's so such mind, like small-minded thinking, and it's so easy to refute. And it's these people that are saying, should we stop making cars and stop allowing cars to be legal, because they kill people every year.
Well, the virus
doesn't take me to work, you dumb fuck.
I was going
to
say that's a very weak argument, because obviously there are the benefits of the car outweigh the dangers. I mean, our society wouldn't function without automobiles. I can't see any benefit to a virus. It is just pure detriment.
Well, I mean, it does wipe out the weak. Let's be honest. I think that nature, Mother Nature, probably sees some benefits to the old viruses.
Maybe this is the happening.
Well, I mean, that's what he was suggesting with the happening, right? We're not supposed to talk about movies. Mother Nature is going to come up with something to fling us off.
Violation.
Mother Nature is going to come up with something to cure herself of this virus that is humanity. So, I mean, that is inevitable. It's probably going to happen. So just real quick.
We're the virus man?
What?
Are you saying maybe we're the virus man?
Stop it. It's exactly what I said, but stop it. The Presidente of Brazil, I think just today, was saying, hey, you know what? People die. That's life. Well, what are you going to do? We're not going to shut down the country. So like, he's taking no precautions. And then his analogy was, we're not going to shut down automobile manufacturers because of car crashes. It's like, you dumb fuck. You stupid fucker. All right.
Do you know anyone who has coronavirus?
No, I mean, I'm sure I do, but I don't know of it yet.
You know,
and I think the likelihood is that, you know, we all probably know somebody, but they weren't properly diagnosed or maybe didn't really have the symptoms. So I most people think that, you know, a lot of us are going to have it or have had it. And then I was saying this a couple of days ago to the old wife over there. I was saying, hey, you know, it's scary and it's bad times and everything, but it's nothing like it will be if it turns out that this thing can come back and reinfect those who have already gotten over it.
Sure.
Because if we find out that, you know, you get coronavirus, you beat it, and then you go on your merry way and then get reinfected like a month or so later, like, we're fucked.
Bad times. We are fucked.
And Jillian was telling me that they are just today seeing cases in China where people are getting reinfected.
Really?
So if that's true, we're done.
Probably one.
Right?
Of the
I mean,
big
not all of us, but well, a lot of us will be.
Speaking of which, one of the biggest things you probably have going against us is that China is being so secretive with their data. It's like, hey, man, you probably have the richest data of all, given that the outbreak was right there in your country. So how about you be a little more forthcoming? But like, who knows what to trust coming out of China?
I mean, who knows what to trust coming out of any government, honestly? I mean, I don't trust our own government any more than I trust a lot of other governments. I think it's foolish to trust any kind of leadership at the top. I mean, ever since Nixon, I think that, and Nixon was long before I was alive, I think that most Americans don't trust the government.
Well put. I actually know two people who got coronavirus, and then just last night we found out that one of Tessa's daycare friends, their grandma, apparently survived a coronavirus in Michigan, which was pretty crazy.
Wait, so you who's the other? You know a friend who has a grandma, or you got
no, sir,
you know two people personally?
I knew as of a week or so ago. I knew two people who personal friends who got it. One is a reporter for CBS, and he was actually in Italy, so that's a bit of a special circumstance. But with the other is this girl I know, and I haven't talked to her in a long time, but we're Facebook friends, and she posted that she had coronavirus. And then just last night we found
out. You think she's looking for likes, though? She might be looking for likes. They've already cut a couple of these.
I theorize that there will be at least one celebrity who fakes having coronavirus, because there's no verification process. No, you're not going to publish your health records, just for the likes, like you said.
Right.
And then last night we were talking to one of Tessa's daycare parents, and the grandma got it in Michigan, which is actually kind of a hot spot now. And apparently she came out the other end and survived it, which is crazy because she's like, I don't know, 75 or 80 or something like that.
But she's so far pulling through, or
yeah, she is recovered, I guess, or recovering. I mean,
oh, good.
She's on the right. She's on the happy end of that curve.
Good. She needs to get back out there and start working then.
That's right, because now she's immune.
But you know, I feel for I got a lot of friends in the service industry and who are bartenders or servers, or you know, there's so many jobs that people can't do from home, and obviously I know a number of our listeners are probably in that boat. So I'm not taking any of this lightly by any means, but at the same time, it's kind of exciting to be a part of this, and my alcoholic addicted type of brain personality that I got, like, this is kind of like I thrive in situations like this where it's like shit matters and things are happening and it's not just the doldrums, you know what I mean? And what was I gonna say?
How you guys doing supplies and food and everything?
Good. I mean, I'm not going crazy, but like, you know, the Wednesday, the last Wednesday I saw you, and that was the day that kind of everything went crazy, and that's when we found out that Tom Hanks and his wife had it, and they shut down the NBA and then the NHL the next day. That was the last day that I did a show with you, and that night on my way home, late at night, I went to Ralph's, which was still pretty open for business. Toilet paper and water were all gone, but a lot of the canned goods were still there, so I bought a bunch of black beans and that kind of thing just to make sure, you know, in case we get to that point.
Sure.
I got a lot of stuff that, you know, we could survive probably for a couple weeks if the stores were to shut down. And you know what? We are seeing that. Like the stores, one of the stores in the Pacific Palisades, got shut down because one of their employees tested positive, so they had to shut her down.
The Gelson's Market, that's right. One of the cashiers got diagnosed with coronavirus. God knows, you know, that person touches every single thing that you buy, which that's crazy.
Yeah, well, I guess they do touch every single thing, yeah. Huh? Yeah, that's unfortunate. What was I going to say? I was going to say something.
Hey, buddy, if you or your family need anything, do not hesitate to ask a Corano.
Neighbor, or yes, I knew. I saw that from a mile away. Yeah, you too, buddy. If Christy or Tessa need anything, you got family in the neighborhood, right?
That's true.
Call them
up. Yep, just up the street.
Yeah. All right. I had something good to say. I am.
Was it about coronavirus
new stuff? And It was not. I am working on new stuff, though, and it's not like I have less time than I normally would.
I agree with you, by the way. The irony is that we're home, and we're like home for 24 hours a day, but like I've never had less time to watch movies, like just because Tessa is here, and she's around, and she demands like, you know, attention, or not attention, but like supervision, or wants to go outside and play, or wants to scooter, like I said, and like, man, yep. I have all this time, but like I'm watching movies in like 10-minute increments.
Oh, you said that last week too. I don't like to hear that, Brian. You find time late at night after the girl's gone to sleep. You don't go to sleep when the toddler goes to sleep, do you?
No, but we're only up for another hour or so afterwards, and then mm-hmm. we're pretty tired. And Christy like wants to watch her like, you know, below deck and shit like that. And
that's your below deck as well.
It's true.
That's my below deck as well. So let's not disparage you like that.
But she wants to wants to watch some Housewives bullshit or something. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll sit here and do some film vault research or something.
But you're kind of experiencing what I've been experiencing for the last 3 years since Atticus was born, before he went to school 3 days a week. So do you have a newfound appreciation for the stay-at-home dad?
Absolutely. It's the most important job.
Thank you. It's the most important job and the hardest job. It's the hardest job in the world. It's there's no job harder.
It's not easy. I will say that.
It's the hardest job. Final thing that I want to say, and I already said it to you, but apparently your phone dropped off, so we're re-picking up here. But
like your phone.
This is also, did you hear me talking about my alcoholic mind, my addictive personality, and how I kind of like thrive with all this shit?
Yes.
And it's like exciting.
That part is
yeah, okay, good. So I don't have to say all that. I'll cut that part out. But as far as movies go, and as far as like timestamps and, you know, momentous events, like 50 years from now, there's probably going to be a movie made in Hollywood. I don't know how big it'll be, but you know, you can pretty much guarantee that, you know, as far out as 50 years, maybe beyond that, there will be a period piece made, and it will take place during this time, and it will have all of this stuff going on in recreated in this movie of the future, where, you know, there's going to be lines at the supermarkets, everyone's wearing masks, every scene inside with a TV on or a smartphone is going to have Trump giving his speeches, you know, like kind of like whenever you see a movie from the late 60s, you always got the old Nixon on the TV in the background. And we're seeing all this firsthand, and it's kind of crazy that we're living through this real life thing, and it's going to be recreated for all of time.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. I was also thinking this is probably a good time for like independent filmmakers to be doing their like post-apocalyptic stuff, because the fucking streets are empty. You just wander around and no one's going
to
bother you.
Yeah, you know what? A few of my friends have been like, hey, it's a good time to get out there and maybe shoot some like stock footage that you could maybe make available or use for yourself for the streets of LA, because, you know, with no cars. And I'm my answer is always this, because I've heard this from a number of people who don't live in LA who are contacting me. And I say, great idea, but like, it's not like the streets are empty. It's just now the streets are kind of normal. Like, you know, you see like four or five cars at a time instead of 104 or 105 cars. There's still cars. It's not like the streets are like desolate. It's just way less cars.
Yeah, that's true. There's a few here and there, even on the freeway. We yesterday as we recorded this, yesterday was Saturday, and Christy, like, you know, late mornings, like, we gotta get out. We gotta go for a drive. I'm like, let's go. So we just hopped in the car and drove down. There's a street out here, a highway called Vista del Mar, and it's a beautiful stretch of highway when there's no one there, as i.e. yesterday, and it goes down from basically my neighborhood to the airport, and it's lovely, and we drove and we enjoyed the views, but there were still a few cars. Mm. There was, you know, a handful, half.
Yeah,
dozen,
you still see cars. Yeah, it's not like you see Viggo Mortensen on the side of the road with a hood. You know, it's not like that.
No, we're not talking movies.
Not like that. Hey, let's talk about a few movies, because let's finally get to some of these questions. This is something that we want to do on a semi-regular basis, whether it's monthly or maybe every other week, or maybe we just do it for the Patreon. We haven't quite figured out how we're going to use these questions, but we're doing them via our Instagram, which is once again Anderson and Brian at Anderson and Brian Instagram. It's our new gram. We're doing it for the gram, guys. We're doing it for the Insta. But it's a space that we foolishly have not really had much going on in there. And Jordan took it upon himself to get it up and running. And, you know, our numbers, despite the fact that we haven't been plugging it much at all, our numbers are growing. So let's try and get this thing going. It's a good place to put the listener art and listener art from the past, and we'll populate it with some fun film vault related stuff. So in honor of our newish Instagram, we're going to answer some questions from Instagram people. You ready to do this, Brian?
Let's do it, man. I've been trying to get this going for a long time, and you keep putting up roadblocks, so it's nice to finally be able to do this.
I know. There's obvious reasons why I want to answer a few basic questions from some listeners. I mean, it's obvious why I would continue to say, oh, not this week, right? I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Well, let's not do it this. Let's do it next week, or let's do it next month, or let's just do it for Patreon. I mean, it's obvious why I would not want to do this.
Well, all your reasons are sound, and honestly, I agree with a lot of them. I can't find fault with any of them.
I don't have any reasons. I can't even think of a fake reason why we wouldn't want to do this. But I can see a real person who's saying no and giving resistance. I do.
Who is that asshole?
His name's Brian.
Oh.
His name's Brian. All right, here we go. First question. This is from we've done questions in the past. Logan used to pepper us with questions from the listeners every now and again for Patreon or for, I don't even remember how he started it, but he's done it a number of times. It's just been a while. It's been a long time. So let's do a few. So this is from @JoeyWho via, once again, our Instagram, @AndersonandBrian. And the question is, what movie do you wish the other host would love as much as you? It's a tricky question. Tricky question, JoeyWho. Because my relationship with Brian is complex, to say the least.
Oh, come on.
And movies that I truly love and hold dear to myself, like when he likes them as much as I do, I question my love for them, and I wonder what's... Perfect. So it's... But in the spirit of the question, just being a pure question, I would say A Ghost Story. Because A Ghost Story was so meaningful to me and so deep been touching and such a beautiful theory on the afterlife and loneliness, and it affected me so deeply that anyone who's not touched by it the same way that I am, I feel even more distant. I feel a little distance. The fact that my wife doesn't even want to try and look at it makes me, you know, think about divorce papers.
Well, I do like the movie, but you're right, I'll never like it as much as you, which, I mean, that's fine. It speaks to you in a certain way. I guess there's
you got one.
Yeah, there's any number of examples. I mean, certainly a movie like Vanilla Sky that I find deep meaning in. You're like, you don't have a lot of time for. But one of my all-time favorites just came up last week, so I'll mention it because I was surprised, and it makes sense the way you described your viewing of it. But I was surprised you don't love Fight Club as much as I do. That's truly one of my favorite movies. It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, and it also has some great social commentary bordering on satire. It's just a smart movie, and I love it, and I wish you loved it as much as I did.
Yeah, I thought that I was a little more alone than I was. I'm glad that it came up last week because I got a ton of emails, but I got a few emails from listeners saying, hey, I agree with you. It's too frat boy for me, or it's trying to be too cool for its own good for me to actually accept it as cool. So I'm not alone. I thought I was almost completely alone. So it was nice to hear that other people, and you know, that's, I know we're in the minority when I say we, me and the listeners that contacted me. Most people like it, and I wish I did. I do. I mean, and I don't know if we've ever had a cooler Brad Pitt than his role in that. Maybe Snatch, and maybe, for sure, Cliff. I guess Cliff eclipses all of his previous cool roles, but one of the cooler roles he's ever done is Tyler Durden, for sure. I wish that I could open my heart to it, but I'm resistant.
Fair enough.
All right. This is from Aaron Brock. What is your biggest movie regret? Groupers. Answer. I wish I never made that thing.
You took mine. You took mine away. My viewing experience.
Movie regret. I don't know what I guess like a movie related thing that has to do with movies that if I take it for that, I go back to when I was like 12 or 13 years old in a mall. The Thousand Oaks Mall called the Oaks, I think it was called. And I was sitting in front of a, this is how long ago, Brian, it was, but I still think about it. It still bothers me. I was sitting in front of an arcade smoking a cigarette in the mall.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like the mid 80s, late 80s, 86. And a guy, I don't even remember who he was, but he's older than I was. And he said, hey, I heard Platoon, that new movie Platoon's pretty good. And I have no idea why. And I remember picking at my ripped jeans and lighting them on fire. I used to light the phrase on fire all the time, the phrase of the ripped jeans. And I remember just saying without even skipping a beat, I'm just like, nah, I saw it. Just another war movie. And I hadn't seen it. And I have no idea why I was saying that. I was like trying to impress this guy or something. I saw the movie probably like maybe the next day or later that same day. And I am mortified. I'm still mortified that I actually said that because it's my one of my favorite movies of all time. And I saw it 13 separate times in the theater. So the fact that I actually said that is a movie mistake. It's a huge, arrogant, ridiculous, ignorant movie mistake on my part.
That's interesting. One of mine actually pertains to you a little bit because, well, actually two of mine pertain to you a little bit because number one, I never saw The Dark Knight in IMAX. And I remember you going on and on about what a great experience it was. And I remember thinking like, wow, that sounds really cool. I'd like to do that. I just never got around to it. And that was frustrating.
Oh, well, you know what? There's still hope though. Cause every now and again, it pops back up. And,
yeah.
Christopher Nolan really, you know, is adamant about that movie being a true IMAX movie, and it's one of his first true IMAX movies that he, you know, was shooting with IMAX in mind the entire time. So, it's the most effective IMAX movie I've ever seen.
I will say,
hopefully one day you can see it.
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
I just said, hopefully one day you can see that.
They do release it once in a while in IMAX, and I'm sure I'll be able to catch it at one of these points. I did learn from the experience, though, so I guess there's a silver lining, because a few years later when Whiplash was in theaters and I was going nuts over it, and like, this is an amazing movie. I remember I'd seen it twice in theaters, and it was getting toward the end of its theatrical run. And, you know, you can kind of tell it's being moved to smaller theaters and being smaller screens,
right,
and being the fewer times during the day, you're like, this is going to be gone pretty soon. And I right. hadn't, it must have been like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And I'm like, this is my last chance to see this movie in the theater, or I could see something new. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to see it again. And I'm glad I did, because I got a lot out of those viewing experiences.
Yeah. It's that true appreciation of being able to see something, a way that you can only see it for a very limited time and taking advantage of that. And that's why, honestly, with the Film Vault, that's probably without a doubt my biggest con of doing the Film Vault. The pros obviously far outweigh the cons as far as being, you know, co-host of the Film Vault. But one obviously is having to deal with you weekly, and the other is I don't see movies for me nearly as much as I used to. And I used to see movies repeatedly in the theater because you have that small little window, and I never took it for granted. And I'm like, it's winding up, I better go see Seven again, you know. And I saw seven times in the theater. It's just so many movies that I used to see repeatedly, and it didn't happen for years and years. And then just last year, it was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where I just gave in. I liked it too much, and I had to continue to go see it in the theater. But, you know, There Will Be Blood. There's a number of movies that Goodfellas, I remember saying, oh my God, it's about to be out of theaters. I got to go spend two more hours with my friends on the big screen before I can't ever again. So yeah, I'm glad that you know what I'm talking about with Whiplash.
Whiplash. So the other regret I'll just mention briefly, because it's out of my control, but I still regret it to an extent, is there was it's almost a whole year's worth of movies that because I was going through treatment at the time, I couldn't enjoy them for whatever reason. Usually it was like too stimulating, or it's too overwhelming, or whatever. And one of those you and I went to see together, we went to see District 9. This is all of 2009. The Hangover, Inglourious Basterds. I saw all these movies that are good movies, and I couldn't enjoy them properly until I saw them again a year or so later, because I was just, you know, I was radiated. It was a bad viewing experience. So I do regret not being able to enjoy those movies at the time for what they were.
But you ended up getting to enjoy them on a second viewing. So don't regret Chemo just because you couldn't enjoy The Hangover the first time around, Brian.
That's true. You know what? Fuck it. That one's out.
There's plenty to like about Chemo. There's plenty to like, right?
That one's out. There's plenty to like. You're right. There's some good things.
All right. Last movie question is this. This comes from Mike Martinez 002. I guess it's Mike at Mike Martinez 002. And he writes, what is your secret guilty pleasure movie or movies? I have a tough one with this, Brian, and this question comes up quite a bit. I don't really have any secret guilty pleasures.
Right.
If I like a movie that I know I shouldn't, I admit it, and I'm loud about it, because that's I can't help but be honest, and I own things that are embarrassing, such as liking movies that I shouldn't, I guess. So that's my answer. That or I don't really have any answers. If I like a movie a lot and I know I shouldn't, you guys all know about it because I talk about it.
Well put. We did a whole episode back in, when was this? I'm looking at it right now. 2016, top five rotten movies. These are movies that the critics have deemed to be below average, but we like. I had a long, long list and a long, long also ran list. And I'm also, like you, I am very upfront about the movies that I like, whether or not you or anyone else likes them. Like maybe the most egregious example is Just Friends. I think Just Friends is a great comedy. I'll stand by it. Like Not Another Teen Movie, hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'll stand by that one. Sugar and Spice,
Sugar
which
and
I
Spice?
Assigned you, great movie, hilarious. That's a smart comedy.
Great. You just said great movie. Right. If we were to do top five movies, just like straight up top five movies, I would imagine that 3 to 5 of your movies would be guilty pleasures in most people's books.
First of all, that's very hurtful. You're not wrong.
Very honest. All right, well put, Brian. Perfect. Yes, I knew Just Friends. I didn't Sugar and Spice. I always forget about. I can't even remember seeing it. Weren't they wearing like president's masks or something?
Yeah,
I watched
they were.
It
they
like,
were.
I just had no memory.
They were cheerleaders and they robbed a bank wearing Richard Nixon masks.
I can't even remember watching it, and it wasn't even that long ago. It's just, but yeah, it tickled your fancy, Brian.
I got no problem. Right. I got no problem.
Last question. This one comes from Greg Aretta. Greg Legaretta. Oh, it's Greg Legaretta.
Oh, Greg.
I've emailed with Greg Legaretta. Greg, it's at Greg Legaretta. And it's a simple question, Brian. And it is, what is the best part of being a dad? What's the best part about being a dad? And this is the last question before we wrap this little bonus episode up. Also, I should mention this, Brian. This is a very standard, straightforward episode. No music. There's not going to be any music mixed in. Obviously, no ads. No music to play us out. I'm kind of jealous of all of these big newscast shows with people like broadcasting from their homes and having like their walls behind them and stuff. And I'm like, I want to have a little raw edge to our show too, a little bit more raw edge than normal. So these bonus episodes we'll do here and there while we're all stuck inside. I'm going to do them without many edits and without any music mixing or anything. A, it makes my job easier, and B, it kind of stands out as like a different kind of show a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Way to lean into your laziness. I like that.
Yeah, it leads into my laziness. I'm very lazy. I do very little. I lay around the house most days eating banana splits, watching the ceiling. That's my day.
Well done.
All right. Best part about being a dad. I got to say, I've heard it before I was going to be a dad, even about other things. I've heard this to be the case. And it's true, though. It's the little things. It's the little things that just happen, and you don't always know when they're going to happen, and they happen just about every single day. And usually it's like when he and I are out just walking around and, looking at things, and then like he'll see a snail or something, and he'll have some questions about the snail. Then he'll ask if he can crush the snail, and then I'll say, no, you can't crush the snail. And he'll be like, oh, and then he'll kind of like understand that the snail has like a mind of its own, and and then he'll get like kind of gentle with the snail, and like it just breaks my heart, and like I see development, and it's just the little just walking down a path with him, and he gets scared and he holds my hand a little tighter, and it's just like, how could I not have done this? How could this have even, because a long period of my life I'm like, there's no way I'm ever gonna have kids, and I think about that just about every single day. I'm like, how could I have missed this? This is the greatest. It's the fucking greatest. And it's the little things. It's, well, granted, he's only 3, so we haven't gotten to the big things. Graduation, and it's all little things, but the little things are way better than I would have ever guessed. They're fantastic. I love them.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you and say it's all about the big things.
Darn it.
Obviously, that's not true. Yes, I remember when, did you ever have this moment when like Atticus was an infant, when like Tessa was like a little baby and she was like drinking off a bottle or something, in the middle of the night, and Christy would be like, this is such a special time. Isn't this so special? And I'm like, it is. I mean, it's unique and we'll never have this again. But like, I'm excited for when Tessa's older and I can talk to her and she can talk to me and she can let me know what she likes and let me know what she's into and let me know what she has questions about. And I will agree.
That's a dad thing.
I will agree with you about the little things, like specifically for me, it's like watching Tessa learn, you know what I mean? Like learn things and like things stick in her memory and like she'll pop out with some random little factoid that you either mentioned to her, you know, or she heard, God knows where she heard it. And it's like, oh, you're actually remembering things and like forming opinions. And it's crazy. The development and the learning is the best part so far.
So her achievements moving towards being a good trivia player.
Yeah, that's the subtext of what I was talking about. We're going to make a hell of a team.
Really
so father-daughter team someday at Bub Trivia.
Yeah, the little baby parts that the ladies like. I think a lot of dads go through the same thing where like Jillian was madly in love with this guy before he was even born, and like, you know, he was nothing to me before he was born. And then when he was born, like for the first 3 to 6 months, I was stay-at-home dad guy, and I was with him, and I loved that little dude. I would have died for him, but I didn't love him like Jillian loved him. Like the moms have a bond that you and I will never understand at those early ages. And just like you, I was really looking forward to the future months. And the months that I was looking forward to, they've been coming hard and fast, and they have been for like the last 14 months or so, ever since he could talk. And it's just the best. Like I would go on a walk by myself, or you know, take the three dogs when I had three dogs on a walk, and you know, it was a chore. Now going on a walk is just like, it's like I'm going on a walk for the first time. It's hard to explain, but it's just the best.
You see the world. You see the world through their eyes. You know what I mean? Like Tessa will become obsessed with. We have a peppercorn tree outside of our house that you smoke at sometimes, and like she's like totally obsessed with the little red peppercorns that fall off the tree. And I've walked over those peppercorns thousands of times. You know, in the course of the time that we've lived here, and only now am I like, oh yeah, that's pretty crazy. These little like bunches of red peppercorns fall on the ground, and Tess is like, can we eat
these? We had the same exact conversation about pepper tree corns not too long ago, and then I was explaining to him that we don't eat these ones because we don't know much about them, they haven't been washed, but watch this, I'll blow your mind when we go home. And I showed him my pepper grinder, and it has the little red, they're from that pepper tree, not that exact pepper tree, but the same species. And I'm like, those are the same. He's like, oh my god, they're the same. He loves things that are the same. Like if he sees a picture of something on TV of something that he has at the house, look daddy, it's the same. All right, enough about the dadliness of it all, but thanks for the question, Greg. I like that one.
I've also been really lucky, and it's complete luck. It's just dumb circumstance, but I've actually captured both Tessa's first steps and her first laugh ever on my phone on like video, which is just, I just happened to be recording at the time, you know, some stupid video, and that was good luck and fortuitous timing to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, why were you just rolling on your stagnant child before you were doing nothing?
One, you know, you probably know with Atticus, with the steps, you can kind of tell when it's coming. Like, you know, she's standing up and pulling herself up on things, and she's looking to make that first step. So I think I was recording a lot in that era, but like the time that she had her first laugh, it's awesome, by the way. It's hilarious that it's like, it's kind of at nothing. Like she's kind of laughing at Charlie because she's sitting on Christy's lap and Charlie's there. And I think he barks to the front door and like she just starts hysterically laughing. And I was like, all right, that's not funny, but I'm glad you did.
Charlie barked. For those of you who may not know, Charlie is Brian's mentally disabled brother.
Yeah, and he growled at the door.
Yeah, I got Atticus's first grin on a still picture with my phone.
Nice.
And it was the very first time he ever grinned. But like he was so young. We were in a hotel because it was when we were displaced. I think he was like 5 or 6 weeks old. So it was a smile that he wasn't happy necessarily. He just made a face, right? But it was the first time that he ever made his face to contort to look like a smile. And I got that. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Indeed.
All right. Damn, I don't even know what to say. Now that I don't use the word gay anymore, I don't know what to call this.
Are we pabby? Are we pabby right now?
We're being pabby. We're being very pabby. Yes, yes, yes. Anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for sticking by us. And I hope that we could help a few of you who are looking for more ways to kill time with stuff on in the background as you do more stuff, maybe perhaps monotonous things around the house and you're kind of going a little stir crazy. Hopefully we can help add a little layer of spice to the background.
A little something to pass the time, a little something to make an hour go by a little faster, hopefully.
This week on the old program, we'll be doing top five movies that don't need a movie theater. And I think this is a good time to do it. I pitched top five best movies for a theater experience, and Brian wisely said, why don't we do the other way around? Because no one can go into it. I wanted for you and I, mainly me, to sit around and think about movie theaters and how great they are and really miss them and, you know, because so many of us take them for granted, I think. And I wanted to kind of celebrate all the best movies for the theater-going experience. But then you're like, hey, no one can go right now, so why torture people? Let's talk about movies that can be watched now that you're not missing anything by seeing it on the small screen. So that's what we'll be doing for the regular episode. And then we'll be updating top five dystopian movies that I think we originally did back in 2011.
Yeah, I think
we'll
that
be
was,
updating
yeah.
top five dystopian movies for no reason. Just because for our Patreon episode this month. So that's that.
All right, fair enough. Thanks you guys for listening. Thanks for downloading, subscribing, all that good stuff. Check out our Instagram at Anderson and Brian if you want to submit a question. We'll put out the call for questions every once in a while. So keep an eye on that, and see you at the regular episode. Until next time.
And thanks to Mitch, and thanks to Jordan and Gio. You're off to Brian.
Yes,
Brian.
Yes.
Something else. I emailed you, and I guess you never saw that email. I don't know. You might be as bad at emails as I am. You know, I sometimes go 3 days without looking at my email, and then I'm way behind. But I sent you an email, and this is something else I wanted to discuss with you for the sake of this here little program. I know we're about to get out there, okay, here's this. Tell me what you think about this. You don't have to give me an answer right now, and I don't have the listener's name who suggested it anyways, but here's the idea.
No.
For gambling, all right.
Oh yeah, you said you wanted
next
to
week. Yeah. Oh, so you did read that email,
but it didn't have any substance in it. It just said you wanted to discuss.
Mm-hmm. It also said we're doing these questions. All right, whatever. Next week, or this week, when we do top five movies that don't need a theater, we're doing our top five. Maybe I doubt it would come up on Flick Fashion, but because it's too new. But chances are, like, let's say like Godfather is on your list, which would make no sense because it would definitely benefit from being seen in a big theater. But a movie from yesteryear, right, comes up on one of our lists.
Sure.
If we're top of mind and we're thinking about it, we say, okay, that's the movie that we're going to gamble on. And then the gambling is what percentage of our listeners have seen it.
Oh, God. How are we going to gauge that? We'll put a poll out?
What?
We're gonna
put it up. Jordan or Mitch will put up. Probably Mitch because he runs the Facebook and Twitter. We'll just put up a couple different polls and we'll see the percentage. That's
interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I'm until we
let's give it a shot.
Until we can get back to gambling on big releases, I'm fine with that.
And you know what? If we like it, it's fun. It's fruitful. But, you know, some of these movies might have, you know, like I assume a ton of people have seen it, but you know, only 10% of the listeners who vote on it, small sample, but still have seen it. So maybe, you know, if it goes well, like, maybe we can explore maybe doing this in lieu of Rotten Tomatoes, because honestly, I'm a little sick and tired of the old RT. A little sick and tired. A little tired and sick.
The only problem, and it's not that big of a deal, but the only problem with that is that it's something that listeners can manipulate. Like, for example, if you go higher than me and they want you to assign me a movie, they can just lie and say yes, they've seen it.
That is a good point that I have not thought of.
It's not a deal breaker, it's just something to consider. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go 99 every time.
Easy way to circumvent that is that we show each other our scores and we don't reveal them until the next week.
Oh, actually, you know what? Here's the way to do it. Run the poll as soon as we record the episode, i.e. Wednesday night, and then close it by like Friday morning. You know what I mean? So people will have voted without hearing
the episode. No, Patreon will have heard it. For those who listen, take advantage of the 24-hour in advance Patreon.
You know, our Patreon subscribers are honorable people. I don't doubt that they would resort to ballot stuffing.
Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for hopping on with me and ditching the family for a few, as did I, and I got to get back to them, but I'll be posting this here momentarily. So happy Sunday, everybody, a rare Sunday episode. And until next time, Brian, you got anything else?
We do it for Van Gogh.
Fuck yourself. We do it for Van Gogh. All right, buddy. Thanks.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree